Flo, we've discussed this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
And That Horror Show Podcast.
Hello, boys.
Welcome to That Horror Show Podcast with that dynamic duo of horror, Timothy Kazza and Christopher Koenig.
I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
When you think of horror, think of us. We are a podcast like no other. So sit back, relax, and enjoy That Horror Show Podcast, if you dare.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello?
Chris, say something.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's going on here?
Okay.
Is that door closed?
I guess it is.
Yes. All right.
I think they just heard you all the way out of here. No amount of soundproofing can get rid of that shit.
Okay.
All right, so let's stop her and hear what she has to say.
November 20th, 2016, a very special THSP Thanksgiving episode. Hello and welcome to a very special Thanksgiving episode, proudly entitled That Thanksgiving Episode Part 3. I am your host, Tim the Butterball Turkey Kazda. Tonight on the show, as always, the man sitting to my left, Christopher, please pass the stuffing Koenig. Say howdy, Chris.
Hey, what's up there, fans?
Then our man in the middle, the tangy, dark, sweet meat in our Manwich podcast, a man whom we've been through podcasting hell and back again, and tonight, those ties have probably been tested a skosh more. David Trimike, Cranberry Mold, please, Rodriguez. How you guys doing?
I'm back.
Hey, what's up there, man?
Did you guys miss me?
Always. Every day.
Well, we have thought about trying to make this like a yearly thing, to have you on with a special Thanksgiving episode.
Well, after this one, no.
After this one, no? Oh, come on, man.
No, I'm kidding. But,
we could probably find some other Thanksgiving-themed piece of crap to watch.
I was busy out watching good movies. And
yeah.
You guys called.
Good movies? What are those?
Yeah, what are those, dude? Can you name us some titles? Well, hey, Dave, you know what? Why don't you tell us what's been going on with you? Because I believe you are involved
with
the show.
You're doing another podcast?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I decided to...
With a fellow cohort in crime.
Well, I decided to dip my toe back into the podcasting urine stank water. And, I needed a break. And then, Mark Rissman, who was... the head of Severpod, which we're all from.
Yes.
We all lost our podcasting cherry.
Yes, we did.
Together.
Right.
We all lost our...
With each other.
Oh, God.
My first experience wasn't good.
Hey! It's the best you ever had, and you know it.
So,
don't you miss those days of editing, Dave?
Oh, man. I think I still have syphilis from those days. and a pinch of herb.
just a pinch.
And maybe just a scoonch of the clap.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Way to sell it.
Those were the days. Those were the days.
I tell you, my friend.
But anyway, no, Mark reached out to me. We just, we were just drinking one night, and we decided, hey, let's just record something. And
that's how it begins.
It actually was good, and it was funny, and that eventually morphed into the mutant that is Sequel This, which is my current podcast, for those of you who don't know. It's a great, it's just fun. It's basically we take... established classic movies and some that are dumpster fires, and we develop sequels to them,
right?
And or remakes, depending.
So does Super Mario Brothers constitute as a classic?
Oh,
or a dumpster
man,
fire?
That's a classic.
You'll always be my cockeyed David Schwimmer.
Yeah. Yes.
Or the actress that you said whose breasts look like. I'm forgetting the quote now, but you said they were
some
so flat.
IHOP flapjacks on a clothesline, I think was the exact quote. But I don't remember exactly, but that was actually a nod to our Warriors podcast. We did a sequel to the Warriors.
Right.
So, we have a lot of fun on the podcast, and we really, really enjoy it. It's just kind of a cool, kooky little idea that is just actually taken off, and we've actually gotten some positive feedback, and we're actually on a really cool podcast network. It's actually at rf4rm.com,
and that's real
Real Fans for Real Movies.
All right.
.com, but it's, you know, RF4RM. But there's a ton of great content there. There's Real Fans from Real Movies podcast. There's Holy Badcast, Taking the Bullet, Throwing the Controller, which is a video game podcast I actually just guested on recently.
Right. You've been guesting on quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm just a podcast whore. You
know? Just spreading your syphilis around.
Spread the syphilis around. No protection, no rubber. I just smear it all over every podcast. It's just great. I want every podcast to smell like a gaggle of dicks.
Now, how many dicks are in a gaggle?
I'm going to assume seven?
That's about six. Seven? See, a bag of dicks, I would say, would be about 3 to 4. Mm. You could probably fit, depending on size.
Now, is that metric or?
Yes, we're in Europe.
Do you put that on a scale and try to figure out what?
I do. We actually use the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh God,
to measure out.
I can just imagine.
And that's not even a measurement of weight. That's not even a measurement at all. But
Dave with his abacus in the corner.
I was going to say Dave forgoes the calculator and just pulls out the old fashioned abacus.
My abacus has 3 beads. That's it. It just has 3.
Yeah, and they're all blue.
I'm colorblind, so I don't know. I'm like, all right, cool.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing, you know, just living the dream and, you know, just having a good time. But I'm definitely happy to be back.
Well, you're happy to be back until we start discussing this movie.
Yes.
Situation.
Chris, WTF, man. What the hell?
Well, you know, we are – okay. So we're going to jump into this. So basically, when we did the first Thanksgiving special that we did, you know, we were kind of toying with the idea of making this kind of like a yearly thing. And the concept is basically – one of us finds a really crappy movie that we can try to tolerate in some level and review it. Because, you know, if it's a turkey, then it fits the season. So if any of you...
Your head is a turkey.
Thank you.
With a lemon glaze.
Yes. So...
And yams.
So basically...
You're a yam.
So if any of our listeners can recall, we reviewed a crappy little movie called Thanksgiving last year. And, of course, we were trying to figure out what other movie we can review.
I can't unsee it.
By the way, in hindsight, this movie makes Thanksgiving look like Citizen Kane.
Oh, it does.
Oh.
It's burned in my retina.
But the idea was basically we're going to pick out another terrible movie. And, of course, it was my job again. And we're going to – Tim, I watch it. Then I give it to Tim. And then I tell Tim, give this to Dave. But we should all set this up too because I told Tim, listen, I found the title. I'm going to give it to you, and we discussed this. I'm going to give it to you. I don't want you to tell Dave what it is. So I give it to you. You watched it. You got back to me. You said, Chris, what the hell is wrong with you? But then I said, okay, now give it to Dave.
I believe Dave's exact quote was, I'm going to shoot you and Chris.
All right, well,
I think that was it.
I was going to ask this. So I said I was telling Tim, and I want you to tell me what Dave said when you gave him the title. So, Dave, why don't you just tell us the setup here?
I think in closing, you know, Tim basically let me know, and I didn't know exactly what the movie was going to be.
But you hinted at it, I'm going to assume, right?
I kind of had a vague idea.
Okay.
That you just didn't like me, and you were just like, you know
No, what? We just wanted you to suffer with the rest of us, since it's part of the concept of the show.
This whole experience is sort of like, you know, it's like your parents saying, hey, let's go to the ice cream shop. And you're all excited to go to the ice cream shop. Because when you guys asked me to jump back on and guest, I was like, hey, going back to the ice cream shop. It's going to be fun. And then you get there and you have a shit-flavored sundae.
Yeah, I was going to say, equated to a dentist appointment.
Yeah, you think it's chocolate with brownie chunks in it, but no, it's just shit with shit. And it's just like soft serve shit with chunks of shit. And that's basically what I got to enjoy was shit on shit.
With maybe just a little bit of whipped cream on it,
yeah,
but not enough to savor the flavor.
I wasn't happy, and then we'll talk about in a minute how I, you know, but yeah, it was quite a a blow to the private.
All right,
so you listeners in for a heaping pile of Thanksgiving stuff.
Yes, but so I guess we should now reveal what the title is. If you couldn't figure it out by now, because there actually was, I thought about it now, there was kind of a clue in the Thanksgiving episode from last year what it could have been. So in case you haven't figured it out, the movie is none other than Thanksgiving 3 from 2012.
Yes.
By the way, in case you're wondering, wait a minute. Thanksgiving 3. Isn't there a part 2?
No, I don't think anybody's wondering. I don't
There's not one soul on the planet.
So they just don't
so, care. So, and I have to prep why we I picked this one. Because knowing full well it was going to be awful, obviously, didn't realize it was – well, I should have realized it was going to be that bad. But knowing it was bad. But I again, like with Thanksgiving, the previous film, I read about that movie a year ago when we were prepping to do that episode on a website called originalvideojunkie.com. And
well, it's original for sure.
Well, yeah. Basically, a website devoted to reviewing all sorts of wacky, fun. Okay, maybe not fun.
Fun?
But movies,
that's a
just
loose,
wacky
loosely.
Movies, loosely.
Movie was enough.
Yeah. So, and one of the members reviewed this movie, and I read it, and I was like, well, I guess this is the film. And I have to say now, when we talked about the first Thanksgiving, it was a very low-budget, non-effort made by guys who clearly did not care about making a fun movie for the approximate sum of $3,000. Interestingly enough, this sequel managed to get greenlit by a Kickstarter page set up by the filmmakers of the first film. By the way, if you're interested, that Kickstarter page is still up.
Yep.
And it lists the total budget of this sequel as being – are you ready for this, folks? A total budget of $112,248 from donations from 466 backers.
I want to punch those
backers.
We need to track down those 466 backers.
Oh, yeah.
Where and, they live.
And stick a fork in them.
What have you wrought on this world?
Beat them about the head and face with my foot.
I remember the days when Mark Rissman and I, myself, were just young aspiring filmmakers that couldn't raise a dime to get a film made. And yet here's this movie that somehow managed to raise this budget. And I want to also read this quote. The writer-director Jordan Downey on that Kickstarter page at the time described Thanksgiving 3 as being, and I quote, Evil Dead 2 meets Labyrinth meets South Park! Exclamation point. Unquote. And I honestly think they should have replaced the word meets with collides, because if that would have to describe
that. I could see what he was going for, but yeah, it's awful on every single level.
On every conceivable level.
So enjoy!
Yes, fun for the whole family. And yes, it makes a perfect Thanksgiving meal. So Dave, since you are our guest, and we have decided to torture you with this request, why don't you...
We need to roll that trailer.
Oh, wait. Oh, let's
there
roll
is
the trailer
a trailer.
First.
You
got to
roll the trailer. I don't even remember. You guys still got the old machine?
We still got the old machine.
We're going to start it right up.
Oh, God.
Turkey here with my new Brown Band trailer for Thanksgiving 3. I call it that because of gravy, you know. Anyways, if you want to see me fuck up a bunch of stupid-ass puppets, look for Thanksgiving 3, November 13th. Hit us up on Facebook to find where it's playing. The movie ain't no turd in a coffee pot, if you know what I mean. Oh yeah. Gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
Sorry, always wanted to do that.
Thanksgiving 2 has been destroyed. Only one copy remains, and Turkey will stop at nothing to get it.
I suppose if it helps tonight, Snookums, I could gobble your balls.
Gobble this!
Looks like early worm just got the bird.
Thanksgiving just got fucked.
Oh, yeah, that is one stinky turd.
That is one foul piece of Well, you
and
know.
I think the trailer is smoking. I think you guys finally need to upgrade the trailer.
I think it broke our machine.
I think it did, yes. So, you know, Dave, we decided to torture you with the laborious task of giving us a synopsis or a description of this movie. And I made sure to tell Tim to tell you we expect this to be a synopsis full of humor and hateful vitriol towards the film itself. So, Dave, why don't you grace us with what you have written down to describe this steaming pile of shit? So.
I thought about just saying, fuck you. Synopsis.
Well, good night.
Well, that doesn't count, dude. So you got to give us something.
No.
And what Dave has is 8 pages, which is 8 pages longer than the original script.
Wow. Hey, no, dude.
No,
yeah.
It's not quite.
They should have called you guys for this.
Oh, God.
So, Dave, why don't you roll?
Okay. Well, guys, so Thanksgiving 3. So,
well, having a hard time already.
I haven't said anything yet.
Chris is going to pee himself.
But the reason why I'm laughing is because you're going, well, and then there's a pause, and you're like, well, so I'm sorry, dude. Just take your way.
Okay.
Your way.
All right. So, guys, sometimes it's fun to be a little masochistic.
Or a glutton for punishment?
You know, I mean, trying out a particular food that your friend says tastes like stale anus between two loaves of rye bread. Playing a fun-filled game of inanimate object colliding with one's genitals. Watching 48 straight hours of debates and election coverage and then trying to resist the urge to run headfirst into a field of cacti.
But I gotta be honest, Dave, I think watching that would be more entertaining than watching this movie. So.
Cacti, I said! Cacti! Those are all fun masochistic activities. And then they're sitting down watching Thanksgiving 3.
Oh, God.
You know, a year ago, I came on and guested on this lovely podcast, and these two made me watch Thanksgiving.
You're welcome.
I thought they were friends of mine. Thought we went way back. But they subjected me to the first film, which, other than a few chuckles from the occasional ridiculous or funny line, was fairly ass. Like straight hairy ass with dingleberries decorating it like brown ornaments on a Christmas tree.
That's very vivid.
Yeah.
So I came on, had some laughs, expressed random hostility and anger, and thought that was the end of it. But no. You guys asked me to come back for round 2 or 3. Which makes about as much sense as a Sasquatch in a beef jerky commercial. Oh, wait. That does happen a lot. Just trust me. It's batshit crazy. So reluctantly, I brought the movie, which Tim dropped off.
And ran.
Into my house, the equivalent of a burning bag of feces by my front door. Tim basically ding-dong ditched me. Went downstairs, stretched, wouldn't want to pull a hammy or a quad, and mentally prepared myself for the carnival of bad that would ensue.
You sound like you're stalling, dude.
So how does one write a synopsis for a movie that basically has no plot and is basically a 90-minute acid trip? By making it as nonsensical as the movie, of course. So, space tits in the first second. Now that that's out of the way, apparently, Thanksgiving 2 was made, but was such a huge dumpster fire of curry-flavored hot garbage that the studio decided to destroy every copy and deny its existence.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, right. They didn't do that with the first movie, though, sadly, as well. So.
Right. Upon seeing this, about 2 minutes into the film, I, too, wanted to light Thanksgiving 3 on fire. Which, although it was not my DVD, I think I would be doing Chris a huge favor.
Don't worry, dude. I will be returning this to Amazon, hoping to get that refund back.
You will not get it. They won't take it back. Just be like, no.
No, you bought that.
I guess disc replay goes then.
No. It's a shit-stained coaster. Yeah. Enjoy. So the studio takes the last remaining copy and throws it into a dumpster. Where it gets eaten... Follow me here. By a talking bag of garbage named Greg Garbage. Good old Greg meets Yomi, a psychotic Muppet on crack, who apparently lost her mind and is trying to find it, which obviously makes her qualified to guard such a valuable artifact. So, he spits it at her, and she becomes the keeper of the movie. I will pause to let this sink in, as I know it's a lot to absorb. Ready? Okay, so, there are some nonsensical cartoons involving gay bears, random products, and other shit that makes no sense, including a cartoon rectum and scrotum, to which my thoughts turned, do somebody actually drew that? The accuracy was stunning. And we can't forget Clitoris Chris. It's amazing. He should be in every cartoon ever.
Oh my God, Chris has just dropped his glasses.
I mean, Clitoris Chris.
It's a hairball. It's a hairball.
That's Chris's new nickname.
Oh, what was the name of the cat? It was
No, I'll get to him in a minute. Actually, I don't remember the name of the cat, but I do.
Maumir.
So we come to find out that Turkey has settled down with a wife, I think, and an annoying little kid. Nice to see a talking turkey settle down and live the dream. Well, Turkey is watching a news report that pans Thanksgiving 2 and says there aren't any copies left, which causes him to become a moody, foul-mouthed bird. See what I did there? Foul-mouthed. Foul. Turkey gets fed up with his wife and cleaves her in half to settle the dispute. Doesn't anybody just talk anymore? Somewhere there's a tear rolling down Dr. Phil's face. So Turkey enlists his son and somehow finds out that there is a copy of the movie that exists and sets out to find it. Meanwhile, Yomi meets up with Uncle Donnie, who looks like George Washington if he was a bearded asshole with a terrible wig and high water pants. And somehow gets him to bring her with him to his Thanksgiving dinner. Upon arriving, she meets the family, which includes Flois.
God.
A melted-looking, awful-costumed, foul-mouthed rapping granny who enjoys blowjobs and getting pounded like a screen door during a hurricane. We also meet her son, Jefferson, who is another asshole in a wig. Because, well, things.
He's they, head of security.
He's head of security at Thanksgiving Land, I believe. Yes.
They both want to make something called Thanksgiving Land, which is the worst idea in cinema history, next to the jump to conclusions, Matt, from Office Space. Cut back to Turkey on a bird taxi. Because that's a thing. Flying. And somehow finding out that Yomi has the copy of the movie. I have no idea how, because I am a person who thinks rationally and has thoughts. Which is why this movie was obviously not made for me. Anyway.
Or anyone else except the 49 440, the 466 backers.
So anyway, Turkey pushes his son off the bird. Guess kids don't fly free on bird taxis. And apparently has a plan to will his son's soul into the movie and use it with his magical Indian burial ground powers to send it to all electronic devices and destroy mankind. So Turkey has ulterior motives all along and wasn't just salty from the bad reviews Thanksgiving 2 was getting.
Oh, my God.
Well, Turkey finds Yomi, kills Jefferson in one of the oddest death scenes I've seen. I mean, it basically cues to Jefferson seeing heaven and then cuts to his bloody chunk-like carcass. Quite jarring, yet effectively stupid.
With some great techno music in the background.
So at one point, our heroes throw Turkey into this contraption called the Pluck Mask. To which I hoped he was dead and the movie would mercifully end. But no. He comes back, of course, and kills again. He kills Flois, thank God. He also cuts off Yomi's hand and takes the movie. The others manage to escape. Oh, wait, also joining the party is a black dildo-looking robot called Muff and Rhonda Worm, which is actually a bisexual worm that talks and looks like a wrinkly old penis. Muff, apparently, in his space travels, obtained the ability to summon portals from his anus and uses the ability to allow the group to find out where Turkey is. This is induced, apparently, when Rhonda Worm essentially fucks Muff in the poopy-doo. So, they set out to foil Turkey's dastardly plot. After a mighty battle, which features another musical montage with trance music, this actually occurs three times in the movie. I use the term film lightly. But seriously, they made no sense other than the one part in this movie that actually made me laugh was during the said musical montage, the gay bear floats across the screen and announces, "I'm a gay bear." Comedy gold right there. They kill Turkey and save the world. Yomi finds her mind. I think I lost mine at the 15-minute mark. And goes back to her mystical, magical world of gay bears and talking trash bags. Uncle Donnie attains his dream of building Thanksgiving Land with the help of Muff and Rhonda. And then the credits rolled, which gave me a feeling of happiness and relief I cannot put into words.
Oh, my God.
Did this synopsis make sense to anyone?
No.
Because if it did, then I did a shitty job of recapping. This movie is the most nonsensical, idiotic, soul-crushing, ridiculous piece of urinal cake that I've ever witnessed. While the first one had its moments where it was so bad it was funny, this one really wasn't funny at all. I feel dumber after having watched it. It's a movie that doesn't give, it only takes. IQ points. Forever. I'm never getting that hour and a half back. There's nothing good to say, only dark clouds and sadness. So that is my synopsis of this abomination.
And those dark clouds of sadness hang around this entire studio as we speak. Fantastic job.
Thank you.
That's always Dave.
That's great. I always wonder how you put thought into writing these things. And then when I hear you read them off, I just go, you know what? Doesn't matter. He just makes it sound exactly what we were thinking the entire time.
What a repulsive piece of crap.
You know what's funny is that when I was watching it, when I watch anything like this, I take little notes here and there, and I just try to, like, you know, little things that stick out to me. I don't think I looked at my notes page once.
So you looked over when it was over and it was blank.
I wrote down little items. Yeah. But then going back, there was just so much rage that it just wrote itself.
So much rage and anger.
So did you have your significant other? Did she watch it with you?
She did not.
Because you know she watched the first one with you.
Yes, and I said, "Hey, Thanksgiving 3," and she told me to fuck off and deny me sex for 2 weeks. You know, this movie actually cost me loving for 2 weeks. Kidding, maybe. But, no, I mean, seriously, she was not excited about this at all. And I said, "I'm going to spare you. I will watch it on my own." You know, and I did.
It's a 90-minute movie, and it took me like a week to watch.
Well, you know what? It took me a while to watch it, too. When I got it in, I was like, "I'm going to watch this." And I put it off for a few days, and I had to look at my watch or look at the calendar. I'm like, "Oh, wait, we have a recording date coming up. I need to watch this before I
yeah,
before we submit." So
I watched it, and I'm like, And I had to stop it like for every 15 minutes and just kind of like walk out of the room and just go do something else.
No, I sat through it. And actually, here was the worst part is there were a couple times where I fell asleep.
So you had to go back.
And I had to rewind it.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, motherfucker. So a 90-minute movie took me probably about 2.5 hours to watch.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I'm actually getting a little acid reflux talking about
it. Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm certain we're not going to go into too many details over because there's no detail to go into. But I find it interesting that once again the filmmakers of the first film, Jordan Downey, as well as his three credited writers, which I'm stunned that there's writers on this.
Why would he put his name on this?
Well, you know what's funny? This movie reminds me of I remember watching Kevin Smith when he was talking. I think it was that thing he did called An Evening with Kevin Smith where it was him on a stage and he was talking about his varying, you know, adventures in film. And he talked about how he had to write this treatment. And he said, well, you know, I'm a dialogue person. I don't really like writing the descriptions yet. So he said he would write the dialogue first and then he would write the descriptions in.
Right.
You know, this movie feels like they basically wrote nonsensical dialogue and then forgot to add in what the action is. So imagine, if you will, a scene where somebody says, hi, hello, and then someone says, you know, I have anal cancer, and then instead of someone going,
you had me at anal cancer,
I know, but instead of someone going, oh, I'm sorry, what can I do? The other person instead says, I had eggs for breakfast. That's what it feels like, how the dialogue goes, and there's no directing action to make any of it come together. It's just a bunch of it's like skit comedy almost, like just. Or actually, it's like the recent episodes of Saturday Night Live. Just have characters go up there, say stupid things, hope that God it gets a laugh, forget where the direction's going, and maybe it'll come
open
together.
Open mouth, say things.
Yeah, open mouth, say things.
Well, you know, this film seemed like an inside joke between like six friends
yes.
that nobody else got.
Oh, yeah. Or an inside joke to people who actually enjoyed Thanksgiving, which I certainly didn't enjoy.
But everybody else is wondering what the blue hell is going on.
Yeah, yeah. And we're sitting here going. And the other thing is, I will give the filmmakers this credit. I find it interesting that they want to make this whole thing take place in a world where it's all puppets. So it feels like Sesame Street gone rancid, or at least acid trip. Or it reminds me of a better film called Meet the Feebles by Peter Jackson.
Yes, but, much better film.
But
that shit crazy, but good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sitting here going, I don't get the concept of this. So it's all puppets. What, is this supposed to be a parallel universe kind of thing? But then after a while,
you're putting
it's like,
too much thought into
it. I know.
It.
You don't give a shit. And it's like,
what was hilarious is the guy at the end of the film finally gets Thanksgiving Land, and it's a rundown amusement park with like one little
it's got
rusty
like a
roller coaster.
Seesaw, and he's like, this is gravy seesaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. I don't know. At that point, I checked out.
and the other guy who's the head of security with the waiting for his pike in the mail and he had a stick with a butter knife
taped
to it.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the
butter
fuck?
Knife. It was pretty intense.
Well, and then the other thing is that I'll give it credit for this. I did kind of, but not entirely.
No.
Well, just the idea that they're doing the puppets, and you see the wires running them, and like, yeah. and of course how. But at the same time, how lazy the filmmakers are, and once again, it stuns me how lazy they do this because this movie has a much bigger budget than the first film. Is they want to do this intentionally bad thing? I like how the sun is on this rod, and it's just someone off screen moving the sun.
Right.
And you kind of laugh a little bit, but then after a while, it's just like, come
take
on, guys.
Take back your blasphemous credit.
Yeah.
Take it back. No, the budget all went to licensing crappy trance music.
It had to have
the
been.
The entire budget.
Well,
oh
I will
my
say
God.
This. When I watched the special features on this DVD,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Why?
It was because it was much more entertaining and short than the movie.
And I didn't get to watch those, by the way. What was their justification behind
all
this?
Well, we know where all the money went. It was for the house of the turkey's house, because that was actually they actually had like these guys building raised floors, doing all this wonderful like construction, like carpentry work, and
just for turkey's house,
just for turkey's house, and for the cave where whatever that fucking orange puppet, what was his name,
Yomi, yeah.
is running from
Chris.
is running from Frank and Turkey or whatever that was his name.
Oh, God. I don't want to be called Frank and Turkey.
Right.
Call me something.
Right.
Whatever.
But honestly, I think that's where all the money went. And it was god-awful. And if there was only one bright spot is that these carpenters probably got paid handsomely for putting this like great set
together.
The
whole thing sucks.
Yeah.
Other than that,
God.
it was god-awful. There's not one redeeming quality.
Yeah, no redeeming quality. I mean,
no, it's a pile of steaming feces.
Oh, it is.
This is, for me, this has got to be one of the top worst films of all time I've ever seen. That's including the Violent Shit franchise, Jaws Revenge, Troll 2, and the original Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's I agree. But I understand why they wanted to make this pile of shit, because
I'm still on Violent Shit.
They wanted to, this is the thing that really pisses me off about young filmmakers too. Speaking as someone who's, you know, gone to film school or whatever, so. It hasn't quite made it in the business, so I guess I shouldn't be talking, because these guys certainly made it, but whatever. My point is,
did they make it?
Did they really?
Well, they got to make a movie, Dave. I guess you could say they did make it.
I use the term movie and make.
Okay,
loosely.
All right, loosely. But my point is that I don't understand why young filmmakers want to go this route where they say, instead of trying to actually try to make something decent, I mean, yes, for this budget, we know it's not going to be fucking fantastic, but at least try to make something that's worthwhile, at least, or a little more entertaining than this. But I still say, why do they want to go down this road of making a really awful movie and say, yeah, it's an awful movie, we're so proud of it? And it's like, well, no one really wants to be proud of an awful movie. I mean, it's
except for those guys that are behind Sharknado.
but and that's the thing. I guess that's where it comes down to, is they're looking at it as, well, if we can make a bad movie and if it can make money, I mean, you know, who the hell's going to give a shit? But at the same time, it's like, you know, aren't you trying to show you've got some talent here? I mean, the humor doesn't work in this movie at all. I mean, the jokes don't work. They all fall flat. Everything in this movie just makes you say, what's the point? You know? I mean, and honestly, if the 466 backers felt proud of what they accomplished here for this movie, good for them. But again, I ask them the important question. It feels like, do you not feel like you've made this movie to satisfy your own personal entertainment?
Here's the thing. I think those 400 backers, after watching this movie, feel like a father whose son comes home and they're, you know, proud. Hey, son, what'd you get on the test? And then the kid's like, look, Dad, I got an F. Let's put it on the fridge.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually a very good analogy or an example to put.
Thank you, Kickstarter.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. And again, I understand Kickstarter being this thing where, you know, they want to help the people want to get their projects off the ground. But I've always wondered, you know, like, I didn't get to read the whole Kickstarter page for this, but I've always wondered, did they even like show the script for this to anybody when they were trying to offer it, or were they? You know, because like I said, this feels like it's just a bunch of lines written on paper, and then they go, okay, let's fill the action somehow. Well, what action are we going to fill? I mean, there's nothing that leads up to it.
It's like they were trolling the Kickstarter contributors. They were trolling the audience. They were just like, we're going to make the biggest pile of fecal matter that we possibly can.
Right.
And they accomplished it. So God bless. Congratulations.
Yes. But if that's your pride and joy, like you said, the kid coming home with an F and saying, let's just put that on the wall, you know?
Look, Dad, I got an F. Bam.
I mean, like I said, we're not going to go into too much details about this, but I will say this too. For the budget that it has, I love how one of the cockroaches you see in this movie is basically just a cheap rubber one you buy at a store with, once again, being operated with a rod.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you say to yourself, wow.
A cheap rubber with a rod, wow.
Yeah. But I mean, you look, and again, for the $112,248, it makes you say to yourself, wow, you can buy that thing at a crappy dollar store and just really, you know, again, it makes you wonder where all the money went.
Well, I know, and if anybody out there listening, it is available. If you're an Amazon Prime member, it is available to watch, because I was watching that while I was I donate plasma and blood. I was watching this on my phone. I'm like, this is awful. Then you brought the DVD. I'm like, I watched the other half on the DVD, and I watched the special features. Like, this is not getting any better.
I'm impressed that you watched it while doing that, because if I was in the same position, I would have just been like, just put the needle in my wrist.
Yeah.
Just slice.
Or you would have just stabbed your eyes out.
Oh, it's
so bad.
Take more than plasma.
It's I guess I'm trying to figure out what else to say about this movie, but it's just a really, really bad example of making a bad homemade movie and trying to pass it off as something.
Well, you know, the I guess not the opening, the exactly opening scene, but the scenes where the guys are like blowtorching everything.
Yeah.
They actually had a behind the scene. Oh, no, not that. But they had the behind the scene where they made the gun, the actual like space guns.
Yeah.
They were taking Nerf guns and they were spray painting them and then using blowtorches to like crisp them up to make them look, you know, I guess rusted, and just that was like the only cool part of the entire special features. Oh. That was kind of cool how they could do that on a budget. That looked actually pretty cool. The rest of the stuff is garbage.
Stop giving them credit.
Sorry.
I was giving the
art department credit.
But again, it's like with writer Jordan Downey, Mike Will Downey, and Kevin Stewart. Jesus, guys. I mean, why can't you just sit back and think of something a little better?
Let's talk about the two best parts of this movie, bear and clitoris crest. parts of this movie.
Okay. What are they?
The intergalactic spaceman and his worm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I thought that was your favorite part.
Tell us about the two best things here. Why are they the two best things in this movie?
Because that was the only thing that made me laugh because it was so random. That was... Anyone who knows me, who's listened to me on podcasts, obviously you guys know, I love random humor. That is like, to me, like that. So those were the only two things because I'm like, what the fuck? But it was, see, the problem was I was so angry when they floated across the screen that I chuckled, but they probably didn't have the impact that they should have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, a gay bear, and he's just out of nowhere, he's like, I'm a gay bear. And then he floats by. It's so random.
How about when he comes out of that vat of lube and then looks up that weird... ass thing. Yes. And he's wearing a shirt saying, just the nip. And I'm thinking to myself, missed opportunity. It should have said, just the tip. I mean,
See, they couldn't even get the jokes right.
I know.
I mean, they just fuck up everything.
Oh. I mean, since this is supposed to be Evil Dead 2 meets Labyrinth meets South Park, how about when Turkey he's reconstructed.
Oh, yeah, I was a system.
And then they tell him that his penis is missing and they put a chainsaw.
I forgot to mention that part, the homage to Evil Dead where he puts the chainsaw on his crotch.
Yeah, and then what does he say?
Gravy.
Gravy, yeah.
Which... I gotta say.
And at the end, we get the gobble gobble motherfucker that we've been waiting.
Well, yeah, but we had to wait 90 minutes to get.
To get the gobble gobble motherfucker.
Which interesting. This movie runs, I think, 99 minutes, and for 90 minutes, I'm assuming the credits were probably stretched out just to get to that appropriate
length. I don't know if there was stuff after the credits. I was just so done. At that point, I was mentally drained. Right.
But I also understand why the Yomi character, when we introduced her, she's just lying in a garbage can. I mean, in a gigantic garbage disposal unit. Like, we get that she lost her mind. And by the way, why does she lost her mind? If she lost her mind, wouldn't she not be able to...
Remember
she lost her mind? Or not only that, but actually have complete thoughts to speak? I mean, I guess we're reading too deep into it, but the point is that...
You are reading way too deep into it. You're trying to make
Well, how about the infomercial about the Pluckmaster 3000? I mean, come on.
I gotta say, that was kind of funny because it does reflect really bad infomercial type things. I mean, it was close, but I did say, I did chuckle when he said it can even cut apart trees, and he just... slices through and then just picks it up and throws it behind. God. I mean, as ridiculous and awful as it is.
And Chris, just for FYI, there are no fun facts for this movie at all.
Oh, I wasn't expecting any. I didn't think there would be. Because
there's no fun.
There's no fun.
There's no fun Absolutely in this movie, none. And there's no facts in this film as well. As awful as this movie is, I just have to, again, young filmmakers, please stop trying to make intentionally bad movies, okay? I mean, look, just because Tommy Wiseau was to knock. When he made the Room, and he treated it seriously, and then ended up being the worst thing ever, and it made money because it was a midnight cult movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it works for everything, for Christ's sake. Okay,
quit pounding the table, Chris.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to get
angry. Oh, Chris smash.
I want these filmmakers to understand. Put some effort into it.
God damn it, Chris! Stop breaking the table.
Sorry.
The ferocity of caning. You just don't even know.
We're renting this.
Well, for the budget like this, I'll be honest, and I'm not going to try to toot my own horn here, but I'm willing to bet the three of us could have made four movies for this money. I mean, compared to what they
made at least
for one
really good movie.
Oh yeah, or one really good movie. And like I said, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but seriously, guys, I mean, a little bit of effort, but still.
Yeah, there was none. It was just sort of like, hey, let's throw stuff on the screen and see what sticks.
Yeah, yay!
And it all stuck because it was shit.
Yeah. It was like, speaking of shit, the grandma character. I like how the two characters, the male characters are human, but the grandma character is played by a puppet. It's like, what's the point?
I want to know who wrote her rhymes because she had
they
flows.
Were the worst.
She had flows so funky they come with a speed stick. Straight gangster.
She had some sick ass beats, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
Just awful.
She was flowing like the Hudson River.
On fire.
Gangsta. Straight gangsta.
As you can tell, we are chewing into this turkey and
spitting fire.
And we are spitting the meat out. It's awful. I think this one was totally undercooked, guys, but whatever.
So, in general, I loved it, guys. I absolutely loved it.
So, final rating? Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, God.
Thumb up your butt?
No, a thumbs way down. So down, it's like, look, no one can see it, but I'm sure but you guys can see it. It goes all the way down, 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 right to... to the floor, goddammit.
Chris was actually writhing on the floor as it was happening.
Sure you guys have thumbs way down.
Yeah. It gets no thumbs.
No thumbs.
Thumbs way up in heaven where Jefferson is residing.
Speaking of Jefferson scenes, they just keep cutting to, like, whenever someone dies, he's up in heaven like, oh, yeah, hey, you're
well,
welcome.
There was the one part where he was, like, tired of, like, and he's like, fuck you.
Well, you remember when the other guy was trying to revive Yomi?
Yomi, yeah.
And she's, like, a turkey, like killed her, I guess, and then he had to stick his hand up her to revive her, like, mouth to mouth.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Jesus.
So many bad things.
Moments. Nice. So many bad moments, and luckily we managed to come away from this special dinner unscathed. Well, at least in terms of beating each other up. Yeah. But
we got diarrhea.
This is like sticking your stick your thumb way down, like down into like a glory hole. And wait for something to happen on the other
Dave,
side.
Dave, you
there is no glory.
You speak as a man of experience. Can you tell us what that's like?
It's sort of like, you know, like when you're a kid and you close your eyes and you have to touch the things that feel weird and you don't know what they are, and they say they're brains and it's like noodles.
Oh, you're talking about like in a Halloween, you're going to Halloween.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a Halloween house thing.
Yes, okay. Yes. It's not like that at all.
And then some creepy lady takes your hand and extends the thumb and pushes it over towards the glory hole is what you're trying to tell us.
It's not like that at all.
It's not like,
what kind of Halloween parties do you go to with kids?
Well, that sounds like Dave.
The good
but...
guy.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. Okay, I do feel bad that we had this.
No, you.
Okay, I had to subject Dave to this movie, and clearly you are very upset. Very
angry. Oh, leave me completely the fuck out of it, right?
Well, I know you're upset, but you're part of the show. You know, this is part of it. Okay?
Yeah, I did sign on for it, right?
Yeah.
You have to take it.
I have to take it.
Hey, man, if I can sit through Jason X, as silly and ridiculous as that was.
Hey, this makes Jason X makes it look like an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Jason X is Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah. But the point is that if I have to sit through this, you have to sit through this, so it all comes
out. It all evens out, yeah.
But Dave, listen. Next year, we want to do another Thanksgiving special episode. Thank Christ there is no Thanksgiving sequel.
So yet.
Off the table. Hopefully they're not listening to us and saying there has to be. Like, no, if you do, we will not even touch it. But the point is...
Maybe we'll come back as puppets.
Yes. Next year, Dave, I want you to pick the worst movie that you can subject
us to. Well, see, the problem is that I book a year in advance and my November is...
No, dude. Dave, this is
jam-packed.
No, it's not, dude. This is your opportunity to actually subjugate us to a
awful
movie.
Yeah, but then I got to watch the fucking thing, too.
But you've already seen it, so you know how it went.
I'm going to be like, this year for Thanksgiving, we're going to do the movie Gladiator. What? That's good. I know.
How about the movie? How about the movie 300? Since you love that movie so much.
300. I was watching that the other day.
Pants off.
But in all seriousness, though, no, really, Dave, we want you to come back next year, please, and bring us something awful. I think I even know one that I think you would definitely subjugate us to.
If I have to watch it, I think I might need some financial.
Well, Dave, we'll give you...
Don't we all?
Well, Dave, we are a very severely underfunded podcast, so I think Tim and I can pull together a princely sum of $5.
$5? I would do it. Yeah. Hell yeah. That's a Starbucks.
Well, mark. But here's the thing, though. The $5 is probably going to be Monopoly money. So,
You got to talk to my people. We got to negotiate.
What people?
I have people.
Who?
I have people now.
Who? What people?
People.
People.
Got to talk to my people.
Okay,
I'll give you my card after the
podcast. Your card. Your terrible torn
it's in
card.
Crayon. It's in crayon.
But no,
damn it,
Dave. Damn it, Dave. We really want you. just saying, we want you to come back next year, and we feel you will. But
I think we'll see how this does.
Yes.
I'm sure, you know, the people. You know, it's one of those things. It's one of those movies that, you know, people, God willing, have never seen.
Yes.
God willing. Mm-hmm. And we spoiled the whole movie for you, so don't watch it.
Yeah, don't watch
it. This is a public service announcement.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Don't watch this movie.
Yeah,
If you value your eyeballs.
If you value the...
and your time.
Yes, your time.
And your mind.
And your wallet.
And your mind.
Yeah, don't give these guys any money.
Hey, it's on Amazon Prime. If you've already got it for your... if you're already included in the price already.
If you've already got it, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Just don't.
But please don't bother watching this movie or the first film.
I wouldn't search it. I wouldn't go out and actively search for it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Next year we're doing Snake Eater 3, the drug buster.
Oh, so that
Lorenzo
is...
Lorenzo Lamas is back, and he's pissed.
It used to be a horror movie. That's the problem.
Yeah. So don't worry. You'll find something. Dave, you will always find something. You've always found a horror
You know, guys,
movie.
I think we can put Turkey to rest, right? In Thanksgiving 3?
I think
3.
We can. We can take Turkey, grab him by the head, grab the meat cleaver... and chop him right off and call this
Give me
episode.
That movie. I hate it. I hate
okay,
you.
Okay, what is with people banging on the table? All right, get the fuck out of my studio.
But no, I think we can put this movie to rest. It is god-awful.
Yes.
Please don't watch it.
Don't do it.
As you can tell, we're stretching for time. But yes, don't watch it, please.
Don't you watch it.
And
I'm watching you.
Yeah.
It's like that Michael Jackson song.
No, I think you're doing the Yakov Smirnoff joke where he says, in Russia, you know, you don't watch TV, the TV watch you. You know,
I'm a huge fan of Yakov. Yakking off.
Jacking off the Yakov?
Jacking off the Yakov.
Yakking off.
Well,
so,
you know, honestly, at this time, I'd like to thank our guest, David Rodriguez, for stopping by and playing along.
Yes.
And hopefully he'll do it again soon without the hard sell from Chris.
No, in all seriousness, yes, I will jump back on at some point.
And
you know, let's see what the, you know, people might get tired of me only once a year. They may want more. I don't
Dave,
know.
Dave, we just want you to come back so you can do another one of your fun synopsis
just using me for my synopsis.
Yes, dude.
I feel like a synopsis. I'm a podcast whore at this point.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
There's
it's
nothing
okay.
wrong with it.
And I'm a really bad whore. Because I get no compensation for it. Really, really well, just piss poor whore who doesn't understand business.
Yeah. That just makes it easy.
Yeah.
It's
come
really
on,
easy.
Well, Tim, do you have any information? Obviously, no trivia about this movie.
No
clearly,
trivia,
but
we do have to head to the mailroom, obviously.
How is the mailroom?
It's very dusty.
It's dusty,
is
but,
it?
But, yes. But we have gotten some responses.
Yes, we have.
We did get one last year.
Yeah. Two episodes ago.
Two episodes, yeah.
So why don't we head to the mailroom?
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna take off my pants.
Why? It's home. This used to be your home,
Dave. Your old porn is sitting right over in that corner.
Guys,
we have not gotten rid of it.
I would have thought you guys would have, you know, upgraded the mailroom by now.
Well, like I said, we are very, 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 very severely underfunded.
Because I've soiled this entire mailroom. Like,
I know.
You guys probably have chlamydia.
Shit!
I gotta head on my shots.
Not even shots can take that away.
Well, Tim, what have you got in the basket there to take out?
First, some Twitter love.
Oh.
Now, a person, a few words. Grim Horror gives us a peace sign, two beers in the skull, and the U.S. for our last episode 19. So, thanks, Grim.
Thank you, man.
Our iTunes review is labeled a great and fun informative horror podcast by Tank Maximus 84.
Yeah, Tank.
Yes.
Yes. It says, Timothy and Chris are a solid laid-back host who balance the line of fun and funny jokes and being very informative. Many podcasts, especially related to horror, whether it be movies, TV shows, or other horror-related entertainment, either go straight up for comic hijinks while in the lens of horror-related things to the point where they have to do each other's jokes, and they think they are straight up stand-up comedians. And others keep it too straightforward with a review heavy and review heavy and throw just crap tons of info at you, and it can be very one note, can be very one noted and very boring to listen to. That Horror Show Podcast seems to dip into both sides without ever falling too hard on either, which makes it a great balance of fun and informative podcast. I definitely recommend a listen for any casual to hardcore fan.
Oh, he's going to hate this episode.
Yeah, he probably will.
He's going to hate. I'm sorry.
Whoever you yes. are, you know I apologize.
Yeah, we're sorry,
I'm
dude.
Just a guest. They will get back to normal next time.
But thank you, Tankus. And finally, this is the email was from November 1st saying, you guys keep getting better. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this show too.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this one.
But anyway, hey guys, first off, I would like to thank you for the shout out. Made my day. I was wondering if you had discussed this or not, but have you ever said how you got into horror movies? What was your first horror films, and what were the movies that you classify as your guilty pleasures? Now, I'll let you guys think about that for a second, and I made a few notes. As for the first movies I've seen, Jaws 2, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th, were the ones I could remember as a child growing up, those were being my first. As far as guilty pleasures for me, almost any shark movie, no matter how bad it is, I give it at least a viewing. One of my guilty pleasures would have to be 1999's Rennie Harlan's Deep Blue Sea. I thought it had a very interesting premise that had great practical shark effects, but absolutely horrible CGI for that time and silly dialogue.
A shark ate me!
Yeah, it's not a great film. But it could have been. I still find myself watching it once in a while.
Sam Jackson was in that. Right?
Yes, he was.
That's what that Chappelle show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think it'd be great if they can revamp that where he says the line.
Yeah.
He's tired of these motherfucking sharks and these motherfucking.
These motherfucking sharks. A shark ate me.
Then the guy goes on to say, the first proper horror film I saw was A Fog on VHS when it was released. I was very young.
Ah.
And from then on, I just ate up any type of horror I could get my hands on, which was usually late night Hammer films. Chris,
yeah,
that's up to you.
Yeah.
And he says, I can remember the first time I ever saw Halloween. It totally blew me away because I was familiar with the slower-paced English movies. Mm-hmm. I seem to have more guilty pleasure films than anything else. Top three would probably be The Return of the Living Dead, Maximum Overdrive, and Trick or Treat. You asked for movie ideas. These are some I would like to hear you talk about. The Hollow, From the Dark, Rawhead Rex, and Stitches. They're all from Ireland.
Ooh.
Dog Soldiers, The Cottage, The Children's, and Severance.
Oh, Dog Soldiers. All right. I love that movie.
Are all no, British films? One, yeah. Okay. I think I've seen that one as well. Housebound, The Pack, Razorback, and The Bait from Australia. There's also so many more, but I hope you guys can get around to watching a few of these. That would be kind of cool. Listening to you guys gets me through my workday. Keep up the good work. Murph Stevenson.
Thank you very much, Murph.
Yeah. We appreciate
you. We do
awesome.
Our best to get someone through their workday, that's for sure.
That is awesome.
And we'll definitely look into those films and for possible next season. So that does it really for the mailroom segment.
Did you want our...
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Please.
Well, no,
why don't you go ahead?
I mean, well, here's the thing. I'm having trouble with the second part. But my first horror movies, Gremlins was definitely one of the first ones that I saw that kind of freaked me out. The one that really comes to mind is Silver Bullet.
Okay.
I saw that when I was way too young, and for about a year and a half, I thought there was a werewolf living in my parents' bedroom, which is not normal. So after some shock treatments, I was okay.
Did you figure out what the problem was?
Okay. Yeah, it was my brain. And the werewolf that was living in my parents' bedroom.
Do you see this werewolf now?
No.
Okay.
No, it's gone.
Okay.
It's gone.
Okay.
Guilty pleasure is tough. Like, that one I was having a little bit more trouble with because it's like, when I think of, like, a guilty pleasure, it's like you said, like Deep Blue Sea,
yeah.
Like a bad horror movie, but then one that you, like enjoy or you like.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of one. I don't, well, Chris, do you got one in mind?
Guilty pleasures. Nothing specific. I mean, but I would probably say any movie that I've liked kind of would fall into that category.
I would say maybe like a movie like Cabin Fever.
Two?
Okay, yeah.
No. The first one, I'm not going to sit here and say it's like great, but it's fun and it's kind of different. And I kind of like that. So maybe that movie. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that
you
is
know?
A tough one.
And I think Friday the 13th movies after the good ones is kind of like Jason Goes to Manhattan. I love that. When he uppercuts the guy's head off, I love that one. It's ridiculous, but they're fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So,
yeah. No, I I'm trying to remember. I remember when I was a young lad who would, you know, watch movies on TV.
A wee Koenig.
A wee Koenig. Watching, you know, like monster movies like Godzilla and Beast of 20,000 Fathoms, them about the giant killer ants, you know. And then eventually kind of working my way towards, you know, like slasher movies. You know, I think the first slasher type film I saw was Blood Feast from 1963, which was, you know, the first film to show decapitated arms and everything. You know, that type of shit. Which, by the way, at one point we do have to do a H.G. Lewis retrospective, but...
I know you've been watching those lately.
I know, yeah. So, but anyways, and then working my way towards movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween. So, yeah, I mean, and trying to watch whatever horror movie I can find around the world, too, you know, just anywhere, you know.
Chris
has
an extensive collection of foreign horror films.
Yeah. Like United States, Britain, Italy, France, Spain. I tried Guam, couldn't find anything there.
Korean.
Seen Guamese horror. They run out of papayas. And it's just, every movie has the same plot. It's ridiculous. Yes. I don't understand why.
Yeah, but... yeah, I tried to. I think there was one. You did have a short career in Guam, though. Your cinematic career.
I did. Yeah. Well, that was my movie.
He had the biggest mud hut.
Yeah,
I did, and it was. It was the haunted hut. Was the film?
Right. Dave played the hero who ended up being the killer.
It was a ghost papaya.
Yeah, yeah.
That killed everyone. Yeah.
You looked very confused in every shot, Dave.
I was. I didn't know. I was like, what's my motivation?
Yeah, they said papaya.
And he's like, roll it.
Yeah. He's like, papaya. That's your motivation.
Exactly. Papaya.
So, yeah, that's basically what I can say about, you know, being influenced from
awesome. That. Well, but it's good to hear. You guys have, like, a lot of really cool listeners.
Yeah.
Great emails. Right. Really, really great emails.
So, well, thank you, Merv. And is there anything else you would like to, guys, like to add before we head out of the mailroom segment?
No, I think that's all we got.
I think we need hazmat suits.
Yeah.
I think we definitely need one of those showers.
Yeah.
One of those golden showers, right?
I think Dave is going to, once we turn the mics off, he's just going to start pummeling us to death over this whole thing.
Above the face and neck.
Yeah. But besides that, no, I think that's all we have on this movie.
Well, you know, then why don't you tell the dear listeners, Chris, what they can expect from our December episode and our season finale?
Well, I don't want to give it away yet there, Tim.
Okay.
I think we're kind of working on it. It's a little under construction.
Okay.
You know, we still have the...
code because we don't have anything.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas-themed episode.
Yeah, it is a Christmas-themed episode. We are coming up with something.
Jack Frost.
No.
You should do a sequel this to Jack Frost.
You know what? On second thought, next Thanksgiving, Jack Frost 2.
The Reckoning.
I'm busy. Awful. A very busy man.
I think that's all we can say. I think we can wish our listeners a happy Thanksgiving.
Right, happy Thanksgiving.
Hopefully
happy
they're having a better turkey than the one we had to endure. So...
Yeah, and you know, stay tuned to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Twitter for updates on our December episode and season finale.
Yes.
Finally, Chris and I are always striving to put out the best possible show. If you have any ideas you'd like us to possibly cover, just shoot us an email, like Murph, through our official Facebook page or through our email address at thathorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at THSP at thathorrorshow1 and on Instagram at instagram.com/thathorrorshowpodcast. Now, if you subscribe to us through iTunes, please leave us a rating and a message. Let us know how we're doing. We love your feedback. If you listen to us through our Podbean page, you can leave us there and leave us a note there as well. Take care and good night, and we'll see you all in December.
Yep. See you
guys. Right.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Like things.
No, Mom's going to do the turkey. Yeah, Dad wants ambrosia, so I guess we got to get those miniature marshmallows. And I'll do the crescent rolls, and you do the cranberries. You know I can't cook. Yeah, well, I'll see you tomorrow then. Gobble, gobble. Bye-bye. Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile, a fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick, 4 fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked. Thanks for listening.
Oh, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?